Good morning, and I'd like to say I'm very happy to be back after a long time being away. 1 week on mission trip and 3 weeks vacation. And I hope we all come with the new spirit of starting and hit the road with the high seasons. And as we read the story today from Jeremiah chapter 18 about the struggle of coming and watching and listening to God's voice, I want to tell you something about the historical facts that surrounded the story and surrounded the mission of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is being known for two things. One is being the youngest one. He started his missionary as a very young guy. And we know his famous thing about, I'm just a boy, I'm just a young guy, and I could not carry this heavy and strong responsibility. But God told him, it's not about what you have, but it's about what I can do by you. And the second thing is really matter about his message is not really a pleasant message, because it's about the future, which has some potential bad things to the Israelites. One thing to remember about what happened around this time was the ancient Judea was really a small and a tiny kingdom compared to the other empires. The Egyptian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire. And all these three big fighters, they have to knock one down to get through all the world. And poor Judea, they were very tiny, and because they were in a very strong and strategic place, all the time the eye were on Judea about who can own it. Because Judea in the middle, if you want to go through Babel or go through the Assyrian Empire, so everybody wanted to take this small, tiny place on the map on their side. So from an army viewpoint, was a very essential. Was too small, but was very important. And these poor people, maybe they are not that much different from our situation. They have to choose the right side. Which one? Do we really be ally with the Egyptians? Are they going to be the winners? They have no really interest which one be the winner. The only concern is, are we taking the right decision? Are we taking the right side? And it's happened many times. The Israelites take the other side, and then the Egyptians take over, and then they punish them after that. They take the Syrian side, and then the Egyptians punish them. And it was very hard for leaders. And Jeremiah was one of these voices say, stop bending on your own thoughts and your own intelligence. Did you see what you did? You can do your own math. You can do your own intelligence, complicated things, but still it didn't save you. And Jeremiah is going now to listen. And listening is a very essential piece of the story about today. And listening is not and just like, here's a message from God, Jeremiah, here's what I'm telling you. And I wonder about the whole story, about why did Jeremiah need to go to the potter's house? He can get the whole message. Going to the potter's house is not like something exotic like today, going to watch art. This is really going to McDonald's today, or like going for shopping. And that's everybody knows everything, and everybody's expert. Because this is the place where they go and get their vessels to cook food and to feed their animals. So this is a very common place. He knows it very well. He doesn't need to go there. But it seems it was a very important message for him to listen and to understand listening to God's voice is not a dead end. It's an opening process. When we listen, maybe we got the first sentence. We didn't get the whole paragraph. Maybe we didn't get the whole book. And this is the message for us today, to hear God as talking to us, not as just he talked and that's it. God is speaking to us in every situation, in every day. And we can see in this story, Jeremiah is visiting to the potter's house, that God can talk with us through many ways. Sometimes God communicates with us through places we have been there every day and we never thought about could God talk to us through these places. or through people we meet every day in our life. Maybe we are bored. Maybe we know them very well. Maybe we never thought this is the way God is talking to us, through normal and ordinary thing. It doesn't need to be every time a supernatural thing happens, the earthquake or volcano or something big happened to take our attention. It's very easy to miss God's word and vision and talk when it just happened during our daily life. And one of my best thing I remember about being attention to our daily life, about do we ever think about when we sit down and eat the food and being in touch with the food we are eating? Are we inhaling the food and just doing to keep going and go because we are busy? Have we ever hold an apple in our hand and felt it and understand where it came from and be appreciative for the farmers and for the effort and everything? The way it's ended into our hands, not to take it for granted, but to be connected with the whole process. And we can change our way we see things. Stop taking things for granted. Stop thinking God just spoke to you last week or yesterday or last year or it's in the Bible. God is talking now, but are we listening? God talks usually not only, as I said, in a supernatural way. Sometimes it happens because we are too blind and maybe we can't see, or we are too stubborn to listen really carefully. But sometimes, or many times, God uses a normal way to communicate with us. How many times we thought about hearing God's message in what we do as our job and our career? Behind, we have to wake up early in the morning, and we have to get the paycheck, and we have to deal with all the logistic things in our jobs and careers. Do we really listen to God's voice in our activities, in our career? Jeremiah is the example of the believer who is ready to listen to God's voice and to see things from different perspective. And as I said, visiting the potter's house in the ancient world was like a normal activity, a normal scene. But God started to talk to Jeremiah to tell him to listen and keep listening. Keep walking and keep listening. Keep watching and learning and see things and keep listening. And it seems like this was the really ideal way of what we heard today about. If you want to do the best way of educating people is getting the visual and the audio side. And I think he got both. He was listening and at the same time he's seeing what's really going on and getting the message. Do you understand, Jeremiah? It was very important for him to see this side and learn about God's working, like the way this guy is carefully focused on his clay, touching it and carefully dealing and reshape it and with all passion. If something went wrong, he's willing to go back and do something different. The potter tried to do his job as a maker. That's his job. That's his career. That's his career, to make a vessel, and something went wrong suddenly. And we can go and spend hours talking about what happened, how things went wrong. It could be a small piece of dust, small tiny stone even. Maybe we cannot see by our hand, but it could destroy the whole shape. But the point here is that the maker is willing to do things if we. And there is two sides of this text to approach, is God warning and making us afraid. If you don't do this, I am going to do this to you. But actually, this only happened in the last part of the whole paragraph. If you go back and read the paragraph again and the whole passage, it's actually full of passion and love and care. And actually giving us the key in our hand. We are not just doing what God wants us to do. He's telling us, if you want me to do something for you, you have the key to let me do that. The if, the condition, is in our hand. God is not going to change in his attitude in a very positive way. I am willing to do the work again. I am going to change my mind and make the vessel in a different style, in a different way. But are you willing? Are you willing to really give me your life and your future and your present so I can really mold around and do my best as much as I could. So we are really a very powerful creatures. It's our choice to let God help us and jump in our boat to help us, to teach us, to guide us. Or it's our choice, it's in our own. We'll do it. We are fine. We didn't need anything. Life provides illustration of the divine word in many ways. And the word of God is communicating through picture, words, icons, and through a place like that. And if we can imagine the potter's house for our day could be a place like Sunday morning, or like a time where we come together and open our ears to listen and to hear God's voice. We are either too fast so we cannot see, or we are too slow and we have no energy to turn our head around to see things, to see life and nature as in speaking elements from God. But there is a message about life from all of life if we just stop and listen, if we just walk and listen, if we just bring our own struggle, and even if we are saying a voice that's different from everybody, even if every voice is speaking about war and it's hard to speak about peace at a time like this today. But this is what we should be. What is significant about this passage is that Jeremiah received not one word, but two words. The first was told just to go down to the potter's house, watch. Watch carefully, see the work. Jeremiah went and saw the potter's work spoiled and reworked again. Only when he saw the result of his trip, and then the second word came to him. The second word then understood the potter's rebuilding action as a symbolic of God's ability and interest, even in finishing something and starting new beginning, rebuilding people's community, new faith. All of people history can learn that today. We can say history repeats itself, but our reactions could be different. Things could happen on a daily basis like the same happened for centuries or for thousands of years, but we have the experience. We have to learn what happened before, and we can stand on a mountain of experience and people who came before us to teach us. We can think different. We can act different. We can love and care and do justice in a different way. If Jeremiah had just listened once for God, he no doubt would have received the message, but he wouldn't have received the word of God. God can be like the potter put an end to something, to a clay that didn't really turn in the right way. But also, he's the one who can reform our life. The decision about the future of this clay depends on our flexibility and acceptance of God's work. God's work could be finishing something, reshaping something, making our life as like an open window, rearranging our values to meet people's needs and the community needs, and to be God's peoples of God in all the time and everywhere. And according to this text, God is always working on doing things better. That should be our faith. Our life, if we are voluntarily give God the chance to work in us and through us. I hear the warning about if we didn't obey God, but also I hear the great privilege we can open our life for things to happen, or we can close the door in God's face. God is about listening, acting, building, planting. Even God is about putting an end to something. Could you imagine that? Or about finishing something and start a new beginning. God is in all these. These are the work of God as we live our lives. Jeremiah urges us today to look for the divine lessons from the common activities of life, to listen for first and second and third and 1 million times God is going to talk to us. And that's why I insist on putting the title of the sermon, not a second chance, but another chance. God is not a good accountant. He doesn't just sit down and say, this is your last chance. It's always really about, could we believe God is always the good heart and the open doors for us if we are willing really to take more serious and more to grow in our life. Maybe we feel history repeats itself, but we can learn to do things in a different way because we are shaped by what happened, listening as a continuing process and God's revelation. And here's the last thing I want to leave with you. How can God's people grow and remain secure? This is the challenge I want to leave with you. This nation was really going to face not a good future, but actually you can turn it around and say it was a good future. Because when they were taken to the exile, they understood God's presence in a different way. I'm not saying we like to go through bad times or we want to go to the exile, but even when bad things happen, still God working. Even when things come to an end, and it seems there is always a competition between do we need to grow or do we remain secure? Amen. As I ended my sermon, I hope you can listen to me carefully. I have a very important announcement for you today. I was out for 1 week, was the mission trip, and 3 weeks I was in Minnesota on vacation. That's the official part. The other part was really, was struggling with an opportunity for a call in a city close to the Twin Cities. Just 40 miles from the Twin Cities. And there really was personal struggle, family struggle, and other things, and getting the wisdom and listening to God's voice, and heard from my co-pastor, which I respect her very much, and then we decide to bring to decision last week, and this was kind of like a big sign for me to... It's very hard to leave a church like this. This is a wonderful church. But the reality is, if you remember, I am the interim, okay? And we need to remember that. I sooner or later, I have to leave. And really, the longer I stay, it's hard for me to leave this place because this is a wonderful place. I love you, and I care about this church. And without getting the blessing from the session and from the co-pastor, really, if we can work things out and updating the session, and as I'm going to update you as where we are right now on the interim study committee, as we are meeting with Pastor Chris this Tuesday, and then we'll wrap the whole process and we'll start write our documents and be ready. So by the time of Thanksgiving, the interim study committee will be done. And then we'll go forward with electing the PNC, the committee that's responsible for finding the best pastor for our future, called by God and by us. And then, so by the end of this year, we could really have a good, good view and good plan for that. And because the other church wants me to start, and as I told them, I cannot leave this church until January. So I hope you understand that this is really could be a positive thing for everybody, and we are not, I'm not saying goodbye, okay? This is normally a pastor announced maybe a month before, but this is a long time. But really, we have been transparent to us about everything. We like everybody to be on board, so session members, everybody. So we didn't have just some people know and the other doesn't. And I'm very open to talk about everything. And please, Pastor Chris has a lot to deal with. So if you need, really talk with me. And I know it's all your comments or all your advice coming from a caring and loving heart. And don't go, my request from you, please do not go to the goodbye mood, okay? Because we have 4 months, okay? Really, because we are, this is the quarter of a year. This is a long time. We have a lot and amazing and interesting. We are starting a wonderful season, very busy season. So you could help me feeling like, yes, I'm working. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing in January. So really, this is my request from all of you. Keep focus on the good work. Keep focus on the good spirit. If you know, like I'm here only for 4 months, What could I do behind the dealing with the worship and the interim? Is there anything I could do before as having somebody like me here? So please understand that, and I need your prayers, and my family need your prayers. You sending all of us all the time, and I think you really did a good job about teaching and helping me and preparing a young minister to learn how to do things better, hopefully, in the future. So, and I need your prayer, and thank you for your time.